Hello, friends. This is Angel coming to you live post-production with a cold. I just want to say that we do have a little bit of an audio issue again this week in this episode. Basically, what happened with Rachel and her mic last week happened to me this week. So please just bear with us as we learn how to podcast, and I hope you guys still enjoy.
What's up, party people? You just clicked on the fifth episode of Sweepers and Reapers podcast. This is Rachel.
And this is Angel.
And we're so happy to be here. I don't have an intro, like, down, like a solid intro. So I'm just going to say whatever I feel, and I hope that intro was at least made you laugh or smile.
It made me smile, Rachel, and that's the most important part. Dude, I think we're mainly just here entertaining ourselves.
Okay, not to lie, we fucked it up about two times, and we laughed a lot before we got that down. So, yeah, I'm excited to have that down. So do you have any business to attend to? I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I know you told me, but even when you told me, I didn't know what it was. So,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe we can talk about our New Year's resolutions for a second. Do you have any, Rachel?
I don't have any. Something cool to mention that I want to mention because I want to. Wow, Rachel. Do you ever like say a lot of words, but at the same time, it's like nothing, you know, like
all the time.
Yeah. So New Year's Day means that I've been vegan for 3 years. So that's really cool. I won't go too much more into that in case you don't want to hear it. And by you, I mean the listener, not Angel. But that's really cool and exciting for me, and I'm proud of myself. I guess a New Year's resolution, I never make them because, like, time isn't real. So I don't know. I just never, like, the New Year always just feels like another day to me. So I never, like, have these, like, big, grandiose, like, plans or resolutions. I guess in 2020, I'd like to save some money, we'll say. I don't know.
That's a nice resolution. I have a few. Like, I want to read more books.
Me too.
Like, just little things like that, because I don't really like publicizing my resolutions, just because when you fail, everybody's like, hey, Angel, how are the books coming? And I'm like, hey, I've read two, you know, so.
She said as she's publicizing New Year's resolution.
The book one is like a small thing. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. So that's okay to outwardly express to the public.
Okay. I'm down for it. I'm just here to support you. You know what I mean?
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'm your Virgo friend keeping you down. Or holding you down, whatever the fuck the kids are saying.
All right, are you ready to get started with this case?
I think so. I'm excited because whatever reactions I have are going to be like 100% like genuine.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool. Yeah, I have my White Claw. I just ate a peanut butter chocolate chip cookie. So I'm ready to go.
All right. In 1967, there was a 15-year-old boy named James Gordon Walcott, and he lived in the town of Georgetown, Texas. It was a small town, about the population of about 5,000 people. And he lived there with his mom and his dad and his 17-year-old sister, Elizabeth, who is also known as Libby, which is like a super cute nickname, so you go, girl.
I love that nickname. It's very cute.
They lived in a large home near Southwestern University. His dad was Dr. Gordon Walcott, head of Southwestern University's biology department.
his mom was Elizabeth Walcott, described as an outgoing religious woman who was active in the local religious community. And his sister was just, you know, 17-year-old girl, but she was thought to be the next valedictorian. So we have a nice little family right here. And on August 4th, 1967, James and his sister Libby returned home after a rock concert that they attended with friends in nearby Austin, Texas.
What band did they see?
Could not find anything on that, but I did look that up because I knew you were going to ask. Yes.
What year was it?
1967.
I bet it was the Beatles.
Yeah.
They saw the Beatles. That's factual. We'll go with it.
That sounds like a good time, but the way I've set up this family, like, I'm picturing some, like, you know how a bunch of, like, modern-type Christian churches like to go to, like, I don't know, Universal Studios and listen to, like, Christian rock?
Unfortunately, yes. I'm familiar.
So, like, it could have been the Beatles. It could have been that, you know? We'll never know. But,
whether or not you as a Christian person could enjoy the Beatles definitely would vary on, like, the spectrum of Christianity, if you will. But we won't do that.
So just after 12 a.m., James decided to sniff airplane model glue to give him a boost. And Rachel, do you want to know, or do you want to take a guess as to what he needed a boost for?
Okay, so when you said glue, the first thing that popped into my mind was Always Sunny, because Charlie Huff's glue. A boost. Like, what he was getting high for?
Yeah, maybe what he was preparing himself to do.
Sex? Question mark?
No. Unfortunately, he was giving himself a boost to get the confidence he needed to kill his entire family.
Oh.
So.
Well, okay. Family annihilator. Wow. What a fucker.
With his
family annihilators. They're like the worst. I mean, everyone is the worst, but family annihilators are the worst. So here we go. I'm buckling in.
With his 22 caliber rifle, he first walked into the living room and shot his father twice. He then went into his sister's bedroom, where he shot her two times, once in the chest and then again in the face. And finally, he went into his mother's bedroom. He shot her three times, two times in his mother's head, and once in her chest. At this point, his dad and his sister are dead, and his mother is, like, actively dying in her bedroom.
He's 15 here.
Yes.
Right? God, I just know what I was thinking about at 15, and it so wasn't this.
I know what you were thinking about at 15 too, Rachel. And
I knew you were
not this.
That, okay. Well, so you said it was his gun. Like, it was his own gun?
I mean, they're in Texas. So, like, I'm assuming it's his gun. I didn't think to, like, see who owned the gun, like, officially.
We're fast and loose with the firearms, the Texans are.
Yeah.
Don't come at me, Texans. I appreciate you. But being a Yankee, if you will. I've never been to Texas. I'd like to go someday. Anyway. Yeah, okay, so that's fucked up.
So, at this point, he goes to hide the gun in a crawl space that is above his bedroom closet. And, like, my thought here is, who has a crawl space in their closet? I would not like that. I would not want to sleep in that bedroom, but, you know.
I get, so, like, I feel like crawl space, is that's like an older home feature, is it not? Because like my mom's house, like the house I grew up in, it's not old, but it definitely doesn't have one.
I also don't know what actually is a crawl space. Like, is it a word that we just loosely use, or
yeah,
is it big, is it small? Like, I'm kind of picturing, if you've seen any of the Paranormal Activity movies, I can't remember which one it is, but they like find a picture in like a pole in their ceiling or something. Like, I don't know, like, how big are these things? But
I think I watched the first Paranormal Activity, mm-hmm, like at a birthday party or something like that. But you know who you're talking to, so
yeah. Did you leave early? They put the movie on. You're like, man, my mom said I have to go home. Sorry, guys.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a sleepover, if I remember correctly. So that was a real bummer. But you know, we made it out alive, so can't be mad.
So at around 4:30 in the morning, he runs out his front door and flags down the nearest vehicle, which is a car of three college students. So he tells them someone just killed his family, and they decide to return to the house with him. They find his mom clinging to life in the middle of her bedroom, and everyone kind of, I don't know, gathers together to call the ambulance and the cops. Because researching this case, I found out that there were times before 911 existed, and this happened before 911 was our like universal emergency number here in the United States.
It's really wild to think that in 1967 that wasn't a thing. Like, holy cow, what did you do?
Because for anyone who's listening who is not a resident of the, what am I saying? I'm gonna start over. Dude,
we got a Swedish listener. I saw it. If you're the Swedish listener, hit us up.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't live in the United States, we have a universal emergency number, so if anything is going wrong and we need emergency services, we just dial 911, and at that point, an operator answers, and they immediately know our address, and they ask us what our emergency is. At that point, the operator then knows what emergency services to dispatch. So they'll be able to obviously hear your situation and say like, okay, they need an ambulance and they need police officers. But when this this case took place, that wasn't a thing. So they had to separately call first, you know, ambulance and then the cops. And that was a thing. So I was really interested in like how long ago, like when did we get 911? And apparently the concept of like 911 being our established number was established in 1968 by AT&T, but it was not adopted nationwide until March of 1973.
Wow.
Yeah. In 1957, the National Association of Fire Chiefs wanted a single number for reporting all fires. So that leads me to believe, like, pre-1957, every single fire department had a different phone number, which is crazy to think about, like, if it was, like, a full-blown phone number that you had to, like, know off the top of your head.
Yeah, and then I guess, like, this is obviously very hypothetical, but if you're in the situation of a fire, and, like, let's say you have the phone number posted somewhere. Like, what if the fire prevents you from getting to the phone number?
Yeah, and I was also thinking, like, I was also thinking about situations where, like, nowadays, if you call the police, they want you to stay on the line with 911 the entire time until...
Oh, that's right, like, until someone gets there.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, oh, like, you just have to be like, okay, sorry, guys, I'm hanging up now to call the ambulance. Like, it's such an interesting concept to think about, you know, I guess a life that I've never lived because I'm so used to just having 911.
Right. And it is hard to like think about like what if you were in that situation and you're like, fuck, do I need fire? Do I need police? Or do I need police? Do I need ambulance? Like, you know, that, because I don't feel qualified to make that call. So.
Yeah, maybe I'm just a nerd, but like I was thinking about all the situations of just like, for example, if someone's having a heart attack and they're like in so much pain they can't move, but they call, I don't know, they call the ambulance because they're like, oh, this is a medical emergency. I think I'm having a heart attack, right? So ambulance gets there, and as far as I know, they can't bust a door down. So like with our 911, like our 911 operators would be able to be like, oh, are you able to get to the door? No. Okay, now we have to call firemen and ambulance. Like, yeah, just thoughts.
I mean, to be fair, you are a nerd because you have a podcast. But that is, yeah, like it also is super imperative to have like a good 911 dispatcher, because you'll hear like, I don't know, personally I don't enjoy it, like hearing 911 calls, but when they're in like various content, you'll hear the difference that a good 911 dispatcher makes. So it is all very interesting and not something that I would have thought of on my own, so thanks.
So
avocado, thanks.
So the college kids at this point, like, I guess they're in the house, they called emergency services, and they decide to leave because they realized that the killer could still be in the house. And they're like, look, dude, sorry about your family, but we've got to go. Like, we're good. Bye. So they leave.
This is giving me, do you know the story of the Amityville Horror?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is giving me that vibes.
So, eventually, Elizabeth Walcott, the mother, passes away in hospital. And just a few hours later, James confesses when a Texas Ranger asks him just up front, hey, did you kill your family? And he just full-on admits to it.
Okay, so I have to ask before you go on. The fuck is a Texas Ranger? Like, I know the term. Like, don't, like, I know, I hear people, like, they be saying it. What the fuck is that? Is that just, like, a state trooper, but they have to call it the goddamn Rangers because Texas?
So, I don't actually know.
I'm sorry, I sound very angry about this, but I'm just, like.
I know Walker, Texas that? Ranger. My friend Giselle recently decided that she wants to be a female Texas Ranger. So if Giselle is listening, like, she's probably DMing me right now about what qualifies a Texas Ranger versus a state trooper. But yeah, maybe it's just their fancy name for state trooper.
All right, have no idea. So we're on Wikipedia right now because I had to know. So it's to me, it just looks like what our state troopers are, which is just like they have jurisdiction over the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I was right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I think the name is.
I like what they call it. I guess it's not like that unusual that they call themselves something other than like state police, because like Colorado and Georgia each have their own Bureau of Investigation. There's like the CBI and the GBI. So it's not that weird. It's just like so fucking Texas and Southern, like, oh, Texas Rangers, we're gonna fucking play baseball. Or solve a crime.
I love the name Texas Ranger. Like, it sounds so, like, it's
so
much cooler.
I'm gonna name my firstborn son Texas Ranger.
First name Texas, middle name Ranger.
Actually, so while we're in this banter, I'm gonna make this the last thing we say. Dylan and I, like, I've joked with my boyfriend that I want to name our firstborn son Special Agent Holden Ford. Like, first name, Special Agent, middle name, Holden Ford from Mindhunter. So.
We love that anyway. For both of you. Point, he's being investigated. He admits to the murder, takes the police back to the house, explains what happened, and shows them where he hid the murder weapon.
Casual. That's so casual. I'm like, oh, just slaughtered my family. Gonna toss the gun up in the crawl space and pretend that I didn't do it. But the guilt will eat me alive sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so here's the kicker. When he was asked why he chose to murder his family, he said that he was tired of his sister's bad accent.
I thought you were going to say attitude.
No, which, accent.
Like, yeah, fucking same. My little brother's got a bad attitude and I hate that shit. But that's not, you said accent.
His mother's loud chewing.
Okay, fair. Loud chewing is, I don't like loud chewing either. My uncle actually fucking hates it. And yeah, I mean, fair.
And then his father and him clashed politically. So I guess James was very anti-Vietnam and he wanted to go to rallies and wear like pins and stuff for support. And his father was like very much against it. And it was like, no, like you're not doing that.
So like here's where I'm sad, because it seems like James was pretty woke, as you know, if you will. But like, you can't
just kill your family, dude. Like,
no, like, no, it doesn't really work like that. Damn, that's so sad. That's very upsetting. Like, okay, so are we gonna talk like what happened to him? Like, why was he like that?
I'll get there, but
Okay, that's fine.
When you said, but he was like, woke, though, like, apparently this kid had a super high IQ. He was, like, well-known within his church community. He was a smart kid, and, like, he was woke. Like, he just seemed, everything I found, it wasn't like when you talk about people like this, you can look back in their childhood and find something that's like, oh, that's our key component here, like, he just seemed like an average Joe, normal 15-year-old kid.
Damn. I mean, when I was 15, like, I definitely wasn't trying to protest things, you know? Like, I wasn't very socially aware. So I think that's, like, an interesting part of it is, like, his political ideations or political views.
Yeah, exactly. So he was actually the first juvenile to be tried as an adult in the county that he was in, which was Williamson County. So that's pretty interesting to note. And he was found not guilty by reason of insanity.
I mean, you said you would get to some shit, so I'm holding out for that.
Yeah, apparently he had delusions, he was paranoid, and according to the court, he showed no remorse for his actions. And he contemplated suicide for months leading up to the murders. Supposedly, he sniffed the airplane glue in preparation to end his own life. But then in some sort of high state, I don't know, he killed his entire family.
Okay. So, here's the thing. Statistically speaking, sir, if he's listening, you've got to have the desire to murder someone before the drugs. Like, so it's very, like, to me, it feels unlikely that he was suicidal and then took drugs and then became homicidal. Like, that's not how that works if you're suicidal. At least, I don't know. So he, like, maybe he didn't think he was going to kill them, or like think he was going to kill them that day. But I just feel like you don't typically jump from I want to kill myself to I want to kill my entire family just from huffing glue. That's not.
Yeah. Also, like, I have never sniffed glue. That's not on my list to do. I'm not understanding, like, what kind of high, like, model airplane glue would give off for it to be like, yes, like, he was suicidal.
Find out?
Absolutely not. I thought that was a proposition for when you get down here. You're like, hey, want to find out? I'll be there in like 3 weeks, Angel.
Got some fucking airplane glue, man. Okay, so just, I need to say this while I'm here. I'm typing in on Google what kind of, because I'm going to type in what kind of high does glue give you. And I feel like I should just take a second to read the suggestions. What kind of phone do I have? What kind of fish is Dory? What kind of dog is Lady? What kind of dog is Snoopy? A cartoon dog, you fucking idiot. What kind of dog is Tramp? What kind of creature is Yoda?
Listen, but these seem kind of targeted towards you, Rachel. So,
no.
Have you been searching for, like, what species is this Disney character?
Technically, some of them. I thought you meant Yoda, and I was about to roast you. Maybe they heard me talking about my Lady and the Tramp denim jacket that I thrifted because it's so fucking cool. And I can't wait to wear it to Disney World when I come in 3 weeks.
You're like, I absolutely have to know what kind of dog this is before I sport it on my back. Thank you so much, Google.
So the first thing that comes up when you Google about, like, sniffing glue is Healthline. And it says, sniffing glue, serious health risks and side effects. I'm not going to do it, ma'am. I just want to. Okay. So it's a hallucinogen, but it only lasts a few minutes, it says.
Wow.
I feel like from what I've seen, that is right. Like, not to base life on It's Always Sunny, but on that show, when they are like huffing glue, they're like constantly huffing glue. So I think it's very lame that he blamed on the glue, because the glue only lasts in a couple minutes at best.
Like, did he have the glue on him? Like, he's just like repeatedly
pocket, like a dab pen, just yeah. Like every couple of I mean, yeah, that's what he would have to do, like every couple of minutes be huffing glue.
I'm also thinking
that to be possible.
Yeah, I'm also thinking, like, maybe in like 1967 they didn't have Google, and like they didn't have like the research on like huffing glue like we have now. So they were like, yeah, like this is totally plausible. Like, the man smelled something that says don't inhale this, like, you know.
So it made him a murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it got him off, so, like, I mean, fuck you to his lawyers, but also he had good ones.
Yeah, so there was a unanimous recommendation that James be sent to a psychiatric hospital because it was thought that he was suffering from paranoid schizophrenia.
Oof. That's a doozy.
He was sent to...
Paranoid schizophrenia is always a fucking doozy.
Yeah. More on that later, because I have my little like theories and thoughts written down about this.
I can't wait to discuss.
He was sent to Rusk State Hospital, which is a psychiatric hospital that is still in operation. And I'm just going to read a little blurb about Rusk State Hospital from tshaonline.org.
Read it.
Rusk State Hospital for the Mentally Ill was opened in 1919 by the conversion of the Rusk Penitentiary building into a hospital for the care of the, quote, Negro insane, end quote.
Oh,
yeah. Texas. During the first.
So that's how it started.
Yes.
Like, okay. Fucked up.
During the first year of operation, some of the old penitentiary buildings were renovated, reconstructed, and converted into wards and hospital buildings, and 600 patients were admitted in 1919. So there's that. Just a lot of stuff about capacity, and it looks like this place can house a little over like 2,000 patients. So just a little information on Rusk State Hospital if you were interested.
When you were researching, did you find anything about like what would get someone admitted at that time? Because I'm interested in that. Like,
I know
is used for.
Yeah, I know back in like the early 1900s and stuff, people were sent to psychiatric hospitals like that for basically anything, especially women. Like if a woman was just like not agreeing with her husband, pretty much they'd be like, okay, like you are mentally ill.
Right on that, yeah.
So yeah, as far as like 1919 goes though, I guess that's like the 20s. It was still, you know,
100 years ago.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. 20s. You're so good at math.
Terrible at math.
Don't
help me.
So he was held at Rusk State Hospital until 1974, which is when he went to court to see if he could be found sane yet, because the idea was that he was being put in this hospital until he was like, okay again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at this point it's been what? 7 years?
Yeah, so he would be like 21? Question mark? Math.
Yeah. 21, 22.
And in as little as 15 minutes of deliberation, it was found that he was sane and he could get out of there and go home.
But he wasn't sane to stand trial. Texas.
He did not stand trial for the murders because he was declared insane at the time that the killings took place.
But the hospital is, they essentially rehabilitated him.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that's the goal, but it's hard to imagine someone who annihilates their family at the hands of a quote-unquote at the hands of airplane glue, air model glue. I don't know. I mean, everyone deserves a chance. That's just seems a little, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. So he got out of the hospital. And within that same year, he enrolled in Stephen F. Austin University, which is a public university in Texas, where he got his bachelor's in none other than psychology.
I hate that this man got a second chance after he killed his fucking family. Okay, so this is like the Amityville Horror / Ed Kemper.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it.
So he decides to change his name in the late 70s to James David St. James and eventually went on to get his master's in psychology and then his doctorate in psychology.
We got a fucking Ted Kaczynski on our hands, apparently.
Yeah, he began teaching psychology in 1988 at Millikan University in Illinois.
A real motherfucking Ted Kaczynski.
And he taught there for years with no complaint until 2013 when a news story by a Texas journalist named Anne Marie Gardner broke that uncovered his past with homicide. At this point in time, James was the head of Millikan's Department of Behavioral Sciences at the university.
Okay, so yeah, like if you're gonna hold a position like that, it should be known that, you know, you're a fucking homicidal maniac. Or were.
Yeah.
We'll say for the sake of, what's his name? James.
So he was highly regarded as a professor, and from what I found online, he still is. Many students like him a lot, and he is known around campus as being just a good, well-liked professor. And so he still has his job, he's living his life, and that's it.
No, it's not. That's it?
Yeah, that's the whole case. Like, that's what happened.
I'm upset.
I mean, me too. I just thought it was super interesting, and obviously it ties into our podcast name, because, like, so many people have been taught behavioral science by this man who was found, you know, not guilty by insanity. Like, he just went to a hospital for a couple of years, came out, and he's like, hey guys, let me teach you about psychology.
I'm mad. That's stupid.
So I looked up the insanity defense in the state of Texas, and under Texas law, the insanity defense requires a defendant to provide evidence of a mental disease or defect that rendered them incapable of knowing that their conduct was wrong. And I feel like you can look like through this entire case and see multiple things that would make you obviously believe that he knew what he was doing was wrong. Number one, he hit the weapon. Like, if you are so like mentally like incapable, why would you hide the weapon? You would
probably not do that.
Yeah.
You would just, maybe you would keep it on you or like leave it out. Yeah. But you, that's, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. As some reports say that he had been planning on killing his family for a week. So, I mean, like, so there's the premeditated stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you look into psychology and like mental illnesses and stuff, paranoid schizophrenia is not curable. Like, it can be treated and managed, but it's not curable in the way that like this guy got out of the hospital and now, like, I mean, obviously, like, I can't look the dude up and see like what he's picking up from CVS pharmacy. So I mean, that one's a little iffy, but just like the whole concept of, we think you have paranoid schizophrenia. We don't really know. We're going to throw you in this hospital until you get better. Like, technically, okay. There is no getting better.
So, are you familiar with the Greyhound bus beheading that happened up in Canada?
No.
Okay. Well, to be short, it's very fucked up. This guy, like, he was paranoid schizophrenic and beheaded another guy on a Greyhound bus, like, while it was driving.
Bruh.
And then, like, stayed on the bus and continued to, like, decapitate him and eat him. And it was very fucked up. As, like, the court proceedings went on, he eventually got found not guilty by reason of insanity, and he got sent to a mental hospital where he was there for like 10 years or something like that, and then he got to like walk out of it. I don't, like you said, I don't think that cured is like an appropriate word because there is no cure.
Yeah,
but he literally like beheaded a dude because he heard voices that were telling him to, and then like 10 years later got to walk free. Canada does things like I think a bit differently than we do down here, but and also, you know, that was before 2010 at least, and the case we're talking about is in the 60s, so that's kind of interesting that he was able to get the insanity defense, because I feel like more is out on it now, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know, it's it, but that just the way that this ended up happening made me think of that. He doesn't, the guy from the Greyhound bus, he was able to like assume a new name, and I don't think he like lives, you know, lavishly in any sense of the word, but he didn't go to jail and he was able to be like rehabilitated. You know, apparently there's no evidence that he will reoffend. He's super unlikely to reoffend. He had no history of violence before, so I had to mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird how like he was just, it's almost like people snap.
I don't really like his reasons. Like, I feel like there had to be more than that. I don't know.
So, like, the thing with the guy from the Greyhound bus I just mentioned, like, it was found that he was having delusions. And, you know, many psychiatrists were able to validate that. In this case, when you give those, like, reasons, that's motive. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound like a delusion. It sounds more like motive to me. Maybe the delusion is what made you, like, commit the crime because it is what made you feel like it was right or allowed. But to me, it sounds more like motive than insanity. So,
yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around, like, the idea that he was going to kill himself and then he huffed glue and then he decided to kill them. Like, I don't want anyone to listen to this and think that I'm trying to, like, talk bad about this person who, like, may actually have, like, really severe paranoid schizophrenia. It's just, like, some of the stuff is kind of suspicious and doesn't really quite add up to what I know about, like, inhalants. Right.
It's like I was saying as well. It's just, like, you don't usually go from I want to kill myself to I want to slaughter my whole family. If anything, if he was genuinely feeling like killing himself, the inhalant like should have just made him kill himself or like, you know, exacerbate that desire. So it's stupid and I don't like it. And I don't like that he is a fucking professor. Ew.
I have really mixed feelings about this.
At least Ted Kaczynski quit his job as a professor before he started bombing people.
Maybe
I'm also not saying that any of that was okay, just for the record. I just have to insert that there. Fuck Ted Kaczynski, but fuck this guy too.
Maybe I'm a super like weird person, but I don't work for the state of Texas. I'm not a Texas Ranger or a Texas lawyer or a Texas anything. And I think it would be pretty cool to like sign up for this dude's class. Like, he hasn't, you know, committed any other offenses. Be like, yeah, dude, teach me about behavioral sciences. Like, are you gonna kill me in the middle of class? ? Like, we're good. Like, it's fine.
Oh goodness. No, I would stay honestly, I'm gonna be completely transparent. If I was still in college, full disclosure, dropped out of college, but I went at one point. If I was in college and I found out, like, it wouldn't even have to be my psych professor. Just if I found out that a psych professor at my school was a family annihilator in his youth, bitch, I'm fucking transferring.
I mean, I was reading a blog post about this whole thing, and this person made a point where they said if he was in any other, like, occupation, like, say he was, like, a garbage man or he washed dishes at the local diner and didn't have all of these degrees backing his name and stuff, like, he would probably be immediately let go from the job. They'd be like, oh, you killed some, like, three people in your past? Goodbye. So that's, like, an interesting thing to think about.
Maybe it is. I still hate it. And it just, like, I don't know. I just don't know how you, like, come back from that. That's all. I haven't done enough research into, like, the rehabilitation of someone who commits a crime like that, because I just feel like it's unheard of. But thank you for telling that story.
You are welcome. I knew you would get into this one. I'm like, oh, this has Rachel all over it. I have to tell her.
Really? I mean, my brain is like going in a million different directions.
That's what I meant. Like, you know what I mean? Just like so many, like, you're probably going to text me at like 3 a.m. like, hey, Angels, just thinking about James. And
when I wake up to pee in the middle of the night, I'll be like, so this motherfucker, James. Okay, so something I've been holding in the entire episode, when you said James Gordon, and I just, my brain went Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I was thinking more like Jeff Gordon, the NASCAR driver, but...
Oh, you fucking Florida-ass bitch, Jeff Gordon.
Also, did you notice his changed name? His new last name was St. James. James St. James, you know, it's not him, but you know.
I'm upset because that's Jonathan Groff's characters on Glee. That's his last name, is St. James, Jesse St. James. If you're a Glee fan, you fucking know. If you know, you know. Jesse St. James, he's my idol. I'm only on season 2, so don't spoil it for me.
Yeah. I recently restarted Glee, like, probably about a year ago. Like, I pick up that show, and then I drop it before I get to, like, season 3. I don't know.
Dude, I'm going to be completely transparent. Jonathan Groff is everything to me, and Jonathan Groff on Glee is phenomenal because he says my name, like, all the time. Like, he's like, Rachel. And I love it for that reason. But when he's not on it anymore, I'll be sad because I won't hear the best man ever saying my name. I'm gonna just say it. Glee's the best show.
The hottest take on Sweepers and Reapers podcast. You've heard it.
Dude,
here
I
first.
I put like a hot Star Wars take on my Instagram story.
Is that the one I replied to?
Yes, dude. I was fired the fuck up because I kept thinking about how I look like Qui-Gon Jinn with my hair up, right? And then I was just thinking about it, and I'm like, man, he deserves so much better. Like, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. George Lucas did him very petty. And then while George Lucas was doing Qui-Gon Jinn, the most petty that he could possibly do, he made a terrible movie at the same time. So, yeah.
I don't like Qui-Gon, so.
You can dislike Qui-Gon and also acknowledge that, like, those movies are terrible. Revenge of the Sith is a baller movie. Like, Revenge of the Sith is fucking excellent. But it's fact among Star Wars fans that trilogy is dick.
Because the prequels are my favorite. So. That's,
I mean, and like, I know, yeah, you have bad taste.
Wow.
On the internet, and everyone is going to hate you because you're so wrong.
This is just my interpretation of the War of the Stars, and that's it.
I'm going to get George Lucas in your ass because that's just, no. Anakin killed the babies. The babies had potential to be Jedi, but they couldn't be. We'll never know what they were gonna be because Anakin fucking killed them. So that's that. If you have enjoyed this episode of Sweepers and Reapers, we are finally on Twitter. We don't have I don't think I've tweeted anything on there yet. I could be wrong, but we do have a Twitter. It is at Sweep and Reap, just like the Instagram. So please check us out there. We will get more content on there soon. We'll post memes and just interact like we do on Instagram, which, like I mentioned, is also Sweep and Reap. We're also on Facebook as Sweepers and Reapers Podcast. Maybe eventually we'll be able to be like some of the bigger podcasts and have like a Facebook group where we can just like chat about things.
I would love that.
I don't know why I went ASMR for that, but that would be super dope. Let us know if you want that, I guess. And yeah, thank you so much for telling me that story. We, like, in telling that story, we told so many other stories, and I think that's going to be the beauty of Sweepers and Reapers, is that we have to tell at least 10 other stories before we can finish the original one.
And that's like the reason why we have no other friends. We have her, and that's just I don't have a dog. I have a nephew. He's pretty cool.
That's true. I have a niece.
Yeah. And it's like these people just have to associate with us because they're stuck. But yeah.
Just some quick shout outs while we're here talking about cool people. Shout out to my boyfriend, Dylan. I love you. Shout out to my cousin, Steven, for always gassing my ego and listening to the podcast. And shout out to Jonathan Groff.
Shout out to Maui from Moana.
Yeah, I'll get behind that.
Yeah, cool. It was so nice talking to you. Thank you for listening
you asshole.
Thank you for listening to my true crime tale. We hope you enjoyed it.
TCT, baby. Before we leave, we do have to say that in about
math. As soon as I said 3 weeks earlier, I'm like, Angel, that's really off. But
no, go with it. It was at one point 3 weeks, but now it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow, I will be in the great state of Florida, and Angel and I will be spending, I think, two full days at Disney together.
Yes.
So stay on the lookout for that. She has a vlogging camera, and I'm hoping that we can do some weird shit with it. I don't know what, but talk to it for sure. But we're going to record at least two, hopefully, episodes for the podcast. So that'll be really, really, really cool. All right. Thank you for my phone fell on the floor. Thank you for listening to our stupid banter. I hope you had a great and safe new year. And we are looking forward to spending the rest of 2020 with you.